Life is difficult. There's no escaping the fact. But the Bible invites us into another realm where even in our struggles, we manage to maintain a cheerful spirit. So here's the honest question. Can we actually achieve a true state of happiness that defies our difficult circumstances? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that cheerfulness is attainable for anyone who embraces God's plan to let contentment rule in our lives. Chuck picks up our study in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He titled his message, Contentment, Generosity, and You.
Now, what are some benefits of contentment? Let me name three that come to mind. First, the current enjoyment of one's lot, rather than constantly striving for something else. You are contented when you enjoy your current circumstances. Here's a second benefit. It gives us the freedom to recognize and applaud another's achievement rather than be consumed by envy. Contentment, as you cultivate it, will free you from competition. Here's a third benefit. It enables us to cultivate a grateful spirit. Those who lack contentment have no clue what it means to be truly thankful. When you're contented, you live your life grateful. Now then, Paul is a realist and he knows that Timothy is ministering to people in two categories. Aside from those contented, there are those who long to be rich, and there are those who are already rich. So Paul instructs Timothy in what to say or how to minister to those in each category. First, those who long to be rich. Now, how do I get that? Verse 9 makes the statement. People who long to be rich, and now he brings the warnings. Look at what he says. They fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Now, before I go any further with that, what is a better mentality than longing for more? Well, if you will go back to the end of verse 7, you will see the answer. See what he says? After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. And he says next, and we can't take anything with us when we leave this world. Job put his finger on it after losing everything. Job 1:21, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will return. The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. I give him my praise. Perfect contentment. Amazing contentment. Now, what does the Lord say to both? What does he say? Look at verse 9. People who long to be rich, they're the envious ones. And verse 17, those who are rich. So we got two categories. What does he say to those who long to be rich? Well, he offers a warning. Listen to what the truth is. This is from the Bible. If you long to be rich, you will fall into temptation and you will be trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that will plunge you into ruin and destruction. Why? Read on. Because the love of money, don't misread that, not money, not even a lot of money, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. All of us are wise to hear this, to heed the warning. Not having as much as others is no safeguard against greed. Matter of fact, envy is a terrible, relentless taskmaster. You will forever compare, and those without much are often far more greedy than those who have much. So second, let's look at the instruction to those who are rich. What are we to do there? Well, we're to teach them. Please observe. Three things are to be taught to those of you who are rich, right from the scriptures. Look at the verses, 17. Teach those who are rich in this world, first, not to be proud. Number one, the lesson is guard against pride. Okay? Easy to get proud when you're loaded. Easy to be proud when you can have whatever you want to buy. So what he's saying is if you've got it, don't flaunt it. Being wealthy needs to be handled with humility. There's great responsibility when you've got it. And that's knowing how to handle it. But that's not all. Guard against pride. Here's the second. Look at the verse. And not to trust in their money. Very clearly written. Don't trust in your money. So the second lesson is don't find security in your wealth. Stock market rises and falls. Economy gets strong and then weak. Times are fickle. Success is fleeting. Popularity and affluence take wings. I love the Proverbs, won't you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Oh, ask any former pro football player or basketball player. Not all, but most. Sports Illustrated often will track the lives of those who were once very well paid. That's fine. That's between them and their agent and their owner. That's all, but they can't handle it. They've not been instructed in how to live beyond their wealth, apart from their wealth. They've tried to find security in their wealth. By the way, I know some very fine athletes who have not fallen into that trap. It's been wonderful to see how they had the wisdom to handle the benefits that came when they were able to play the game. Here's the third lesson. Maintain the right perspective. Look at this. Not to be proud, not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Isn't that great? Enjoyment. There's no shame in having much. There's nothing wrong with having multiple cars. Nothing wrong with having more than one house. That's not the point here. It's knowing how to handle it and knowing what to do with it beyond buying for yourself, which is now in these last four tips I want to give you. Let me have you write them down. They're all right here in the scriptures, but maybe it'll help if you write them down. Here's a simple way to enjoy a life of generosity. Number one, use your money for worthwhile causes. See how he writes it? Verse 18, tell them to use their money to do good. There it is. Use your money for worthwhile causes. Sit down. If you're married, sit down with your spouse. Is this the best use of our money? We've got plenty. We've got more than we need. What's a good way? What's a wise way for us to put this to worthwhile causes? Do good with it. Now pray about it. Think about it. What moves you deep within? Then direct your gifts in that direction. Here's the second. Balance giving money with giving yourself. Go back to the verse. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. So give your time generously. If you have much, it's a great thing for you to see yourself as one that can help others, mentor others, spend time with others, pour yourself into the lives of those who are in need. You may wish to give to some who are in that category. That's all part of this generous to those in need. Here's the third tip. Stay ready to share. I get that from the way the verse reads. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Right there in the biblical text, stay ready to share. Rather than developing a suspicious mentality, rather than standing back to see what others are going to do, don't hesitate. As the Lord moves on your heart, go there. Be known for your generosity. Think about your life beyond your death. By that I mean, where's your money going to go? Have you thought it through? Do you have a will? Have you put it together so that it will benefit those that will live beyond you? How valuable is that? Stay ready in those areas. Always suggest making a habit of this, that long-standing habit of being generous. Here's the fourth. Invest in eternity's future. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience the true life. Consider having your money outlive you. You know of a ministry that is setting its sights on something that makes your heart beat a little faster? Go there. This church ministers to you in deep needs and deep ways. Come here. Give your gift here. Make certain that the place where you get your maximum spiritual benefit is the place that gets the maximum gift that you give. Certainly, we're to diversify our giving, and there's everything right about that, but make certain that the place where you worship is a place that is the recipient of much of your giving. I want to read about a man who lived not the good life, but see the ending? The true life, okay? I found this story in a little book by Mark DeMoss, titled The Little Red Book of Wisdom. The second chapter is entitled Stay Under the Umbrella. Listen to what Mark writes in this chapter. First part of it reads, years ago in Hong Kong, there lived a missionary named John who had a knack for getting things done. In a densely crowded and difficult city, that brand of talent attracts attention, particularly among American businesses salivating over the lucrative Eastern market. One day, the ranking executive of a squirt gun manufacturer invited John to lunch at a well-known Hong Kong restaurant. In the posh but crowded dining room, the executive slipped $600 to the owner and was then escorted with John to a prime corner table. Napkins had barely hit laps when the executive leaned in. John, he said, we'll pay you a salary of $200,000, provide you with a nice office and a car and a driver if you will come work for us. Perhaps too casually for the executive's pride, John said, I'm not interested. Thinking to himself, he said later, he could have saved the guy $600 plus on that lunch. When the businessman pressed with, well, how much are you making now? John didn't hesitate. $8,000 a year, he added. But that's not the point. I'm here serving God, doing what I'm supposed to do, and I've never been happier. Hear the contentment? I've never been happier. At 11 o'clock that night, John's phone rang, quote, "It's all over Hong Kong that you rejected that big offer at lunch today," an agitated voice with a German accent said. "I'd like to know why." The caller wouldn't take tomorrow morning for an answer, so 40 minutes later, still in his pajamas, John sat across the coffee table from the man. His visitor said, "Everyone at the American Chamber knows what you did. I had to hear for myself." Telling me about this incident years later, John tried to explain why the squirt gun bid and offers like it through the years failed to entice him. In John's words, "I call it staying under the umbrella. Get out from under the umbrella and you get wet. I knew my calling and my purpose. I wasn't going to let money or anything else sidetrack me." Hear the contentment. John is past 70 now and at the panoramic end of a lifetime of serving people in Hong Kong, Asia, Africa, and dozens of places the names of which most Americans would mispronounce on the first try. Behind him lies a trail of new children's camps, orphanages, churches, and lives forever changed. Hear the generosity? You hear it? To this day, though technically retired, John has never lost his focus. He recently spent 8 weeks in China doing what he has always done, serving others. In an age of business globalization, John has had abundant opportunity to act as a point man for businesses seeking to expand into markets he knows well. He could have been rich, but he would have been unhappy. John calls it an umbrella. I call it focus. That internal compass that keeps a person on track with his gifts, his purpose, and his goals. I love it. I love guys like John. First, they break the mold. Waving a lot of dollars in front of John won't even make him blink. Why? Listen again. Because he has mixed godliness with contentment. And as a result, he is generous with his time. And I am confident if we were to look at his account, even with his money, small amount though it may be. Every seminary prof could write a story like that. Every one of you who lives within your means and is not attracted because of more money to some other deal could write your story. Because you have that sense of focus that is a twin with contentment. Chances are good all of us could be making more money, but would there be the focus, the fulfillment, the sense of investing in that which is eternal and going to sleep every night feeling great that you have not gotten out from under the umbrella and gotten wet? I'd like us to bow our heads right now and just do a little soul searching and then we'll be through. I don't know where all this finds you, but I can't get inside your head any more than I have, and now it's the Lord's job. Are you really contented? Or have you given in to greed and let it begin to build discontentment, which is really taking its toll on you? Your life is marked by envy, strife, competition, and that age-old argument, enough is never enough. If you wait until all the enoughs are satisfied, you'll be dead. Now's the time to come to terms with these things. Now's the time to take a good, long, hard look, not only at what you're making, but at what you're doing with it. How you're investing yourself, your energy, your effort, your heart, yes, and your money. I speak to you who are born again people. Use this as a motivation to do with your income and to do with your time what no amount of money would make possible. It must come from the heart, from staying under the umbrella of contentment. That's the message. And hopefully it will take root, take heart, and lead you to become more generous than you've ever been in your life. Let's pray. Help us, our Father, in this greedy age, surrounded by so much of everything. Shelves at the store are lined with more food than we can consume. Agencies carry more cars than we could ever own. Businesses offer more products than we could ever purchase. Teach us, our Father, the joy of contentment, having food and clothing and the essentials. May we now focus on others and how to use what we have to help in the work of ministry. Begin with me, Lord. Continue to do a work in my own life, in Cynthia's life. Show us as a couple how to keep doing this as long as we live. And do the same for others, I pray, single and married alike. For we ask this in the name of Christ, our Savior and our God. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll. He titled today's message, Contentment, Generosity, and You. This message represents one small portion of a larger teaching series called Hilarious Generosity. Stay with us because Chuck will conclude today's Insight for Living program in just a moment with a special comment prepared for our listening family. But first, this is the perfect time to express our gratitude to our hilarious givers. From the beginning, the Ministry of Insight for Living has accelerated because of loyal supporters like you. And I can assure you, your generosity is making an impact. For example, we received a note online from a gentleman who said, "Chuck, I am 51 years old and have spent nearly half my life in the Texas prison system. I was released from prison in September of 2020. For the last 2 years of my incarceration, I was a faithful listener to Insight for Living. I couldn't wait for the broadcast each morning at 8 a.m. and would usually listen again in the evening at 7:30. God put a hunger for His Word in my heart, and I am so grateful for this ministry, and I still listen today. I am a life that was changed." Well, we love hearing stories of redemption like that. And let me add, when you give, you're playing a key role in these redemption stories. God is using your gift to transform lives for His glory. Well, Chuck, there's a major milestone coming soon, and we're calling on every listener to respond.
We're on the verge of reaching a very significant date in our ministry's history. We're completing 45 years of serving the message of Christ to the world. Started back in 1979, and here we are in 2024. And our fiscal year ends the last day of June of this year. We plan to continue on. As you look back over your spiritual growth, if Insight for Living has played a part in that, perhaps even a major role in that
We would love to receive from you your gratitude type gift that says, thank you for all that you've provided for me. Here's my gift to you. Use it, and may God bless you as you continue on in your work. Perhaps you see our ministry as more of a mentoring for your life, where our lives have rubbed off onto yours through the teaching of God's word, precepts and principles that have been delivered over the years. And perhaps lately, it's begun to mean more to you than ever before. And that would be a good reason for you to think, you know, in light of what you have contributed to my life, I want to contribute to the ongoing ministry that you're involved in. Insight for Living Ministries can't continue without the faithful support of people just like you. So let me say in advance, thank you. If you're already a giver and you faithfully provide monthly gifts to us, thank you for that. You'll never know how much that means to us and the planning that we have put into our ministry.
Thanks, Chuck. We invite you to give generously toward this worthy cause. Here's how to respond. If you prefer to send a personal check in the mail, write to us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas 75034. If it's easier, just give us a call at 800-772-8888. That's 800-772-8888. Or you can give online at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us again when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Hilarious Generosity, Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Contentment, Generosity, and You, was copyrighted in 2015, 2016, and 2024, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.